Now, the Seamus Wolfe controversy, it is still not going away. And Minister Helen McEntee's proposal to deal with it during scheduled oral questions in the Dáil has not been accepted by the opposition. Why, Louise O'Reilly, is this not good enough? Helen McEntee says she'll do it when she comes in to answer ministerial questions.
So there's the opposition are speaking with one voice on this. And as the lead party of opposition, Sinn Féin have been to the forefront in calling for the minister to come in what is an established and accepted format. It normally takes around 2 hours. There's statements and there's questions and answers. Ministerial questions happen. They happen on a regular and a rotated basis. There's no need for us to suspend normal ministerial questions. What we should be doing is having normal ministerial questions. They happen infrequently enough as it goes. And it is a very important part of the work that the opposition do in terms of holding the government to account. It's also an opportunity for government backbench TDs to ask questions as well. What we have requested, what the opposition has requested, is an established format within the Dáil, that there will be a questions and answers session. And what Minister McEntee has offered is not good enough. It's not good enough for Sinn Féin, and it's not good enough for any of the parties in opposition. In fact, what we have looked for is a questions and answers session. It's exactly the kind of thing that Fianna Fáil looked for, funnily enough, when they were in opposition around the appointment of Maura Whelan. And the same is true now. Questions have to be answered, and Minister McEntee should come into the Dáil and answer those questions. And repeated attempts to dodge to dodge her responsibilities and to evade and avoid answering questions do absolutely nothing other than distract us from work that we should be doing. This matter needs to be addressed, and the only way that it will be addressed is via the questions and answers format.
Okay, Peter Burke, it is not a good look for a minister to be so apparently reluctant to present herself before the Oireachtas and be held accountable.
Well, the minister has obligations under the Constitution. It is not, absolutely not, an established and accepted practice to pore over the applications of High Court or Supreme Court judges in the Dáil. Pore over the merits of each candidate.
The current
candidate,
that's Micheál Martin, demanded questions to be answered in relation to the appointment of the previous Attorney General.
I can tell you from my point of view, it is totally
inappropriate. And when he did that case,
it is totally inappropriate. It is totally inappropriate to pore over the merits of different candidates for a judicial appointment. One thing in this country since 1922, our judiciary has really served us.
Is that I don't think there is any suggestion that the merits of any particular candidate will be pored over in any question and answer.
That's what it descends to, Katie. We've seen with Francis Fitzgerald what it descended to, and we've seen the Disclosure Tribunal come and clearly vindicate her. And all those who were shouting at that stage are very, very quiet now. They didn't come back and apologise or anything. And we saw in a recent minister's book, he said he wouldn't stand up at that stage when he should have had the courage to stand up for someone of great character. And the same thing can happen here. I know Helen McEntee. Helen McEntee is a minister of immense ability. She's someone of the highest calibre. And to suggest that she is incapable of making a decision as presented to her by the Judicial Appointments Board and any other expressions of interest and present that to Cabinet is absolutely ludicrous. And I think it's demeaning of her as a person to be suggesting that.
Nobody's trying to demean the Minister, Peter. Calm yourself.
No,
what we
this
want,
is totally inappropriate.
Just,
so is,
and there's no
Louise.
Need for you to interrupt me either. What we want is simply questions and answers around how, what the process that the Minister followed. The minister, of course, is very capable. As Jim O'Callaghan said yesterday, she should be well able to come in. Of course she should be well able, and I'm sure she will be well able when the time comes to come in and answer those questions. So nobody is suggesting anything otherwise. But transparency is important, accountability is important, and that cannot be sidelined. So what we have requested is an established format, questions and answers session. It's been done previously. There's absolutely nothing to prevent it, only that the government are refusing to allow it happen. But the opposition are speaking with one voice on this. There is absolutely unity of purpose, and as the lead party of opposition, Sinn Féin have been calling for the minister to come in, and we're not going to stop doing that. So get this distraction out of the way. The minister should come in and answer questions. She should be accountable. And offering on the 1st of December, I think it's the 1st or the 15th of December actually, to come in at 10:15 at night to take her normal questions in the normal course of things.
Okay, I want to bring in Dr. Laura Callan, lecturer in constitutional law in the University of Limerick. You're very welcome, Laura. You've written extensively on the process of the appointment of Justice Seamus Wolfe to the Supreme Court. Do you believe that there are still outstanding questions that need to be answered here?
Yes, I think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered on this. I mean, the government keeps insisting that proper procedures were followed, But if proper procedures were followed, then I don't understand why the minister cannot actually come before the Dáil and answer those questions. And the government keeps trotting out lines around the separation of powers, saying the separation of powers prevents them from giving details. Actually, the separation of powers requires checks. And if there is any suspicion that proper procedures have not been followed, then the Dáil has a right to ask questions and the government has a duty to be accountable. So there are a number of questions on this. I mean, we know there's a parallel process where names from both JAB and the other process where sitting judges write to the Attorney General, and candidates from both of those processes need to be considered. The normal process, or what usually happens, is that you've the Minister for Justice with the Attorney General, the Taoiseach, and a Taoiseach, if you're talking about a coalition government, who all sit down and discuss the potential candidates. But it's unclear who was actually involved here. And from the Minister's comments on the news last night, it gave the impression that it was her alone who made this decision, which actually would be highly unusual. And the Constitution tells us that it is up to the government to appoint judges. But that assumes the government as a whole is making this decision. So if the Cabinet was presented with one name, and if the impression which was given was that this was the only candidate, then Cabinet was not given the full picture. And that's actually very problematic. And there's also issues with the timeline that need to be answered as well. Why did it take so long for this position to be filled in the first place? Was that a strategic move? And we need to know as well when exactly the expressions of interest from the three judges were received and who got them, whether it was the former minister, and when this decision was made. So we need to know when it was made, who was involved, and what criteria were made.
OK, the line's, apologies there, the line is just breaking up there to Laura Cahalan, but not before she raised very straightforward questions. Why can't the minister just come in and deal with those very straightforward questions?
First of all, it's actually up to the president to appoint judges. Government nominates judges after going through this process. This process, through the Judicial Advisory Board, is set out.
Essentially, but that's only a formal process. So
the minister has to adjudicate over the names that are presented, and one name always goes to Cabinet, be it for a Secretary General, a judge, the chair of a board.
Can you respond to that question that Laura Cahalan raised there, that it would be highly unusual for a minister to go through this process all by themselves and put forward just one name?
It would be highly unusual for a minister to go through exhaustively a list of names to different party leaders and to the Cabinet table. I think if you had a situation whereby names were being adjudicated and compared against each other at the Cabinet table, that would not be a conducive process in terms of appointing judiciary.
I don't think that's what Laura, do you want to respond there? That's not what you were saying.
Minister McEntee made her decision and advised the leaders of it.
She said that last night. My understanding is that my understanding is that a number of ministrations have done this differently, but that the normal process would be that you would have a small committee of the Cabinet, such as the Minister, the Attorney General, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste, who would consider those names. And very often they would bring one name to Cabinet. But it has also happened that a number of names would actually be brought to the full Cabinet. And particularly in a situation like this, where nobody's saying that Mr Justice Wolfe would not have been appointed anyway. But the question is, was the Cabinet aware that there were other options? Was the Taoiseach aware that there were other options, or were they given the impression that there was simply one candidate to be approved? Because if they were given that impression, that's actually very problematic from a constitutional perspective in terms of fettering the power of the executive to appoint judges.
And Laura is outlining very clearly there why the minister should come in and answer questions. And Peter wants to bring
in... she's offered to come in.
And just hang on for a second. Peter wants to bring in Secretaries General, the President and everybody else. And sure, look, that's nothing but deflecting. The minister should come in front of the House. She is more than capable of answering those questions. She should be accountable. We need to know the process that was involved. We need to know who knew what and when. And, you know, it is not acceptable to think that she simply pulled a name out of a hat. We need to know exactly what informed the thinking, and we need to know exactly what process was involved, what process was followed.
This name that it's not, and there were the process
and there were other names that were excluded.
Minister McEntee, there were other names that were obligations under the ministerial handbook. She went through all her obligations and adhered to them in full. It's her duty to inform the leader, the Taoiseach. She did that. She informed the Tánaiste, and she presented the name to Cabinet. And at the end of the day, Cabinet then nominates that for appointment.
It is her duty to be accountable to the Oireachtas.
And they have an opportunity.
She informed the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste of the name that she had decided.
And they have the opportunity to ask questions at that stage. It's the minister's job to put this name forward to cabinet.
What about
that's her duty on the ministerial handbook.
Can I ask you about Eamon Ryan? It's mentioned in the handbook that if there is a party leader in a coalition government, Eamon Ryan knew nothing about this. See, again, we're not going to get the answers that we need sitting around this table.
No, the minister is accountable. Has in the Justice Committee responded to a question and put it on the record what she answered, can.
She made one very brief statement.
She's not going to open up a debate.
She made one very brief statement. And indeed, you know, the request
prejudice
that
the appointment
there
of judges in this country that has served us so well.
Can I ask Laura that, just in relation to it, because this separation of powers issue keeps coming up over and over again. Is there a danger, however slight, Laura, that there could be, you know, some crossing, dangerous crossing of this separation of powers line were this debate, questions and answers session were to be allowed?
I really think there is very little danger that that would happen. I mean, the only danger here is if you get into personal details in terms of the applicants, and the Crown Corlett can shut that down very quickly if anyone did ask anything appropriate. But I think what's actually a bigger danger to the separation of powers is the impression that the public is being left with here, because the government, even in explaining themselves, tried to rely on the fact that they argued there used to be a convention that you could appoint the Attorney General to any judicial vacancy. So there is a sort of an impression here that the vacancy on the Supreme Court is being lowered to the status of a political prize. And if the public is being left with that impression, that's actually a much greater danger to the separation of powers and a greater danger to the idea of the independence of the judiciary, if we're not actually assessing candidates based on their merits, but simply rewarding somebody for political behaviour.
OK, OK, we're going to have to leave that there. As we say, it is not it's not going anywhere. I think it's going to run. We may well be talking about it next Saturday. But we will leave there. Laura Callan, many thanks for joining us.